Yeah, it's a huge game for us, and we let one go early with Republic County, so we've got to steal one here on the road. And they're a great team. They pressure the ball, and they're a group of seniors that's got tons of experience because they've played 4 years now, and they're finally on a team that's pretty competitive. And so they're just gonna be scrappy, and we're gonna have to control the pressure of the game again and kind of do what we do. I think we'll have a size advantage as usual, but I don't know. We'll just go and see what they have to offer.
Blake Girls head basketball coach Shauna Remus previewing Sacred Heart. That's a matchup tonight in Salina. We'll have it for you. Girls and boys doubleheader on Z96.3 Lake. Our live video stream at nckssports.com via Beloit Trojan channel. Sacred Heart girls have won 7 in a row after 2 early season defeats. One of those to Chapman. That's one of the teams that Beloit's lost to. Beloit girls are 5-5. 4 of their 5 losses are to ranked teams. So, you know, sometimes it's misleading when you look at a record. 5-5, 4 losses to ranked teams. They are 0-4 against ranked teams. Sacred Heart is ranked 10th in Class 2A, so Beloit has a chance to get that goose egg off the board when it comes to their record against ranked teams. It is a big game in the league. If Beloit could win, now all of a sudden you even the field a little bit after Beloit lost earlier in the year at home to Republic County. That's the girls' game. Boys' game also very important. Sacred Heart boys off to a great start at 8-1, 4-0 in league. The Beloit boys stumbled at Southeast earlier this year, but I got a feeling nobody's going undefeated in this league. Southeast is solid. Minneapolis is good. Ellsworth's improving, and, of course, Beloit is solid. So that's a big doubleheader tonight on Z96.3 Lake, our live video stream at nckssports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. And then Dusty will have Lakeside Lincoln tonight on KD Country 94 and KD Country 94.com, and I'll let him comment on that if he wants to, and then give us the rest of the schedule.
Yeah, the Lakeside Lincoln girls is a rematch from the 30-27 win for Lincoln back on January 20th in the play-in, so just 8 days ago. So they'll play once again. Lakeside 2-1, and Lincoln's 0-3 in league play. But again, Lincoln has beaten them already in the league tournament. And in the boys' contest, Lakeside looking to get back on the winning track after losing their last two at the Northern Plains League tournament. They're 6-4, 3-0. Lincoln is 4-7, and 2-1 in the league tonight. Again, pregame for the girls at 5:50 and tip-off at 6. The boys' game follows on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com here this evening. Other games tonight, St. John's Tipton is hosting Bennington, Osborne's at Wilson, Rock Hill's at Tescott tonight, also Thunder at home against Pike Valley, and then Sylvan Lucas at Southern Cloud to round out the Northern Plains League games tonight in the Mid-Continent League or cross matchup. This will be a Mid-Continent League matchup coming up next year and beyond. Smith Center is at Russell tonight, and then Concordia at Abilene and MCKL play here this evening. So let's look at what's going on as far as high school basketball schedule is concerned for tonight. Again, we do remind everybody as well, coming up this evening, we have our wrestling locker room chats on KD Country 94 as we'll talk with head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, and Smith Center Wrestling this evening, beginning around 5:15. And if you ever miss those, they're always posted at our locker room chat podcast as well at KDCountry94.com. So that's what's going on here tonight as far as our stations are concerned.
All right, look forward to all of that tonight on the radio and with the locker room chats and also the basketball. And our complete schedule is posted at nckssports.com along with the latest all-league teams that are archived, the latest KWCA and KBCA rankings, also latest athlete of the week, and much more all there for you to peruse, nckssports.com. KU Jayhawks ranked 3rd in the country on the road last night and took care of business.
Coach Boynton and Bill Self will shake hands with still 15 seconds on the clock. There will have to be a shot or a turnover here, though, before the layup or handshake line can truly get underway.
Devon did not want the turnover.
He throws it to Tristan Inaruna, who will dribble it out, and you can rock. Chalk it up. The Jayhawks win a blowout here in Stillwater, 65-50 KU.
Yeah, there have been a lot of games we come down here and not play well, and we actually played pretty well for about 25 to 28 minutes today. I thought we did some good things. It was nice to see us play well without Dot. We got a ball-playing dude in Marcus Garrett. You know, he and Christian Brown were by far the best players in the game for us today. I thought they were both terrific, and everybody else did fine. Everybody else played pretty well, and Doak totally dominated the game defensively, even though he didn't score offensively. But there were some good things. I was happy.
Bill Self's happy. That's good for KU players and fans. KU hit 11 of 33 three-pointers. If they make three-point shots, I think if KU hits three-point shots, they will be in the Final Four, and they may be playing for a national championship. The reason I say that is, as long as they stay healthy, they hit three-point shots, their defense is really good. It's really good. And so if they're making shots, they're that much tougher to defend. And we've seen KU not play great offensively and win games because their defense is really good. It's probably the best defensive team they had since 2012, last time they went to, well, not the last time they went to the Final Four, but last time they went to the National Championship game in New Orleans against Kentucky when they had Jeff Withey and others. So KU, a good win, and they continue to be right hot on the heels of Baylor. Christian Brown, the freshman in the starting lineup, they went small because, well, McCormick suspended for his second game. He had 16 points on 5-11 shooting. He also had 9 rebounds and 2 steals. Not a bad night. Marcus Garrett got it done, as always. And Dotson is, of course, reliable. And, you know, Udoka is going to do his thing, 6.7 rebounds. But as Bill Self said, it was his defensive presence that was probably bigger than Wade did offensively. And KU makes 11 threes in the win last night over Oklahoma State in Stillwater, 65-50, a place where they've struggled over the years at times. But they get the job done. K-State will be back in action on Wednesday. We'll talk more about that with Riley Gates. Wichita State have a big game at Tulsa on Saturday in the American Athletic Conference. The Super Bowl is around the corner. I don't know if you've heard about it. It is Super Bowl 54. It's coming up this Sunday. And it will kick off around 5:30, 5:40. And last night was the first night where the teams are there in regards to talking to the media. Patrick Mahomes wants to win one for Chiefs Kingdom. The first Super Bowl victory for the Chiefs since January of 1970. How sweet it would be.
Yeah, I mean, it would be amazing to win the Super Bowl. I mean, obviously, with the fans that we have in Chiefs Kingdom, the passion that they show every single year, there's been ups and there's been downs, but they're always there. And so for us, we're going to go out there knowing that we have the full support of Kansas City and the Chiefs Kingdom behind us and play the best football that we can and hopefully trying to find a way to win.
Chiefs arrived in Miami, most of the players wearing Hawaiian shirts in honor of Andy Reid. Andy Reid trying to win his first ever Super Bowl. I heard some people talking yesterday on the radio, and they said that this would cement his status in the Football Hall of Fame. They said it was asked, does he need a Super Bowl victory to validate him making the Hall of Fame? And the two people I heard said yes. He needs to win a Super Bowl to ensure that he gets in the Hall of Fame. They think eventually he may get in the Hall of Fame without winning a Super Bowl, but it's going to be much more difficult because there's a lot of coaches out there with not as many wins as Andy Reid, but they have Super Bowl wins. And so this is very important for the legacy in Andy Reid. And Andy, well, he wants to bring a Super Bowl back to the KC fans.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. It's a great city, great fans, the best fans. I mean, they're phenomenal. So I think it'd be great for him.
It would be great. I'd be okay with it. So why don't we just go ahead and do that? Let's rock chalk it up. Chiefs win a Super Bowl. That would be fantastic. It'd be a great matchup between the Niners and the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs' chances. I do. I've heard some people worried about the Niners running game, and I am worried about that, worried about their pass rush. That, not so much. I just think they're going to have a great game plan. Andy Reid, when he has a bye, is really good. 2 weeks to prepare. He had meticulously had the schedule laid out on what they wanted to do in Miami. Andy Reid had a feeling after last year that they were that close, that they were going to get there this year to the Super Bowl. So he already had a plan on, you know, stay used to being in condition for warm weather. He told the guys this weeks ago. Because yeah, that's the ultimate goal. When this season began, it was we were 4 inches short because Dee Ford lined up offsides. And now he's on the other team for the 49ers. Clark Hunt said it all year long and before the season, if you've seen the show The Franchise, that, hey, the goal is the Super Bowl and to win it. Not just to get there, yeah, to win it and bring the Lombardi Trophy and, of course, the Lamar Hunt Trophy to KC. They got the Lamar Hunt Trophy. Now it's about bringing home the Lombardi. And I think the Chiefs are going to do it. As long as something fluky doesn't happen or nobody gets hurt, I think the Chiefs will do it. And I think there's one thing that people are missing a little bit. I know the Chiefs and their players have not been in the Super Bowl, and Terrell Suggs has been. You know, I know the 49ers have a few guys that have been in the Super Bowl, like Richard Sherman. But I think, first of all, the Chiefs got the best quarterback in the game, and I think that's big in the Super Bowl. Franchise quarterbacks make plays. But the other thing I think is that the Niners, they've went from a 4-win team to all of a sudden they're in the Super Bowl, whereas the Chiefs had to go through the heartbreak and disappointment of being so close last year, and they realized that it's hard to get back there again to that stage and then to win the AFC title game and get to the Super Bowl, whereas the Niners may be like, hey, man, we got four wins, now we're in the Super Bowl, what a great year, nobody expected it, and they might take it for granted a little bit. So I think that could be a slight advantage for the Chiefs.
Yeah, you hope that that mentality can go into the game and that they can use that. And again, like we talked about it off the air, you know, it was like when they won the AFC Championship, it's like kind of subdued. It's like, yeah, that's what we were supposed to do.
Right.
Now I want the big thing. Like, I'm not satisfied yet. So you hope that the Chiefs are thinking the same way and that, yeah, that they understand what it takes to get there and now what it takes to win it. So,
yeah,
I completely agree with that. I hope that that's the case for sure.
Yeah, me too. It should be great. I'm excited. It seems like the Chiefs won the AFC title game 2 months ago.
It does.
It just seems so long ago, but it helps us enjoy what the Chiefs have accomplished so far. I shared a story earlier, but I'll share it with you. My stepfather-in-law, he said, "You having a big Super Bowl party, Chiefs in the Super Bowl?" Go, no. I said, "I don't want distractions. I want to enjoy it. I want to watch it. I don't want people yelling and talking. I can't hear anything. I can't see anything. I don't want to be worried about chips and dip and this and this and whatever." And he said, "Well, you got a lot of Chiefs fans around there." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Your friends are Chiefs fans, aren't they?" And I said, "Now, see, there's a problem." I said, I have some of my closest friends are Cowboy fans, Bronco fans, and Steeler fans. And he goes, "What's wrong with them?" And I go, "Exactly. What is wrong with those people that are Cowboy, Bronco, and Steeler fans?" And then I got one that's a Dolphin fan. What?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. You're in the Midwest. A lot of them have been in the Midwest their whole life and in Kansas. How are you a Bronco fan? Okay, I get that a little bit. How are you a Cowboy fan? How are you a Steeler fan? How are you a Dolphin fan? I didn't know. You should be a Chiefs fan. But you know what? That's okay. You're all sitting at home, get to watch the Chiefs win the Super Bowl on Sunday, and then all of us Chiefs fans can rejoice and get together and have a big party after the Super Bowl, and we'll all call in sick to work on Monday. Sound like a plan? Yes.
Yes.
All right. So Monday, no show. If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, we might have a show. We might have a show. Maybe no Waterside Wake Up, but we might have a sports ticket show on Monday. Now, of course, if the Chiefs lose or get blown out or something crazy like that, then we may not have a show either.
We'll just be depressed.
We'll be depressed and disappointed and everything else. So could go one way or the other coming up on Sunday. Much more in the Super Bowl next few days here on the sports ticket. Former Chief Kareem Hunt, you know, he looked good in a Chiefs uniform and be in the Super Bowl, and he should have been in the Super Bowl. And if we had him last year, I say we because I'm a Chiefs fan, then the Chiefs, I think, might have made the Super Bowl despite the defense being so bad. But then maybe the Chiefs wouldn't have fired Bob Sutton. Maybe the Chiefs wouldn't be back here. Who knows? Kareem Hunt got arrested the other day for speeding, and marijuana was found in his car. The officer is very nice, if you've seen the dash cam video, and basically said, you know, "We'll confiscate it, take it, but we're not going to charge you with possession of that, this and that." He knew who he was, Kareem Hunt, running back for the Browns. And it's Hunt said, and interesting, that the past few days have been tough on him with his former team, the Chiefs, having made the Super Bowl. He said, and I quote, "I should be playing for a freaking Super Bowl. It hurts my soul. Like, you don't understand. I've been fighting a lot of bleep lately. It still hurts me this day. I love Cleveland. I love the Browns, but you don't understand. I'm just the worst person in the world sometimes, like, I guess. I don't even do nothing. Try to help everybody." Kareem Hunt still has issues. There's no question about it.
Absolutely.
I feel sad for him. I really do, to an extent.
Yeah.
I mean, he brought it on himself in regards to not being on this team, and he knows he screwed up. And then you look at the Browns. He didn't do great or anything special in the 8 games of Cleveland, and I think he had the perfect system for him and his game was with the Chiefs, and he ruined it. And now he's got to lie in that bed. It's unfortunate.
Absolutely.
Which leads us to Kobe Bryant. Well, speaking of unfortunate, I did a long thing about Kobe yesterday, and we'll spend a little bit of time here next probably 10 minutes, and then we'll move on to Riley Gates at GoParakeet, GoParakeet.com. You know, Kareem Hunt's a good example of a guy that's wasting a lot of athletic ability because he has all these issues. Imagine what he would do if he fulfilled everything that he could. And he's just one example. And Jerry West, the general manager of the Lakers, and of course, he's the one that traded for Kobe Bryant back in the 96 draft, the age of 17. And Jerry West, just hearing him and watching him talk about Kobe, it's just heartbreaking. It brings a tear to my eye, and I never met Kobe. And he said, you know, it's just so disappointing for him when he sees all these athletes that don't fulfill their potential. And he looks at Kobe, and he's like, that guy, there was no doubt he was. That internal drive, that intestinal fortitude. And it's just ironic that we segue from Kareem Hunt into Kobe Bryant. There's a great example of Kareem Hunt could be so much better as a person and everything else. And Kobe was not a perfect person, as we talked about yesterday. And as I said, the one thing that stood out to me when I was preparing for the show yesterday, I kept coming back to, I wish I met him. I wish I met Kobe Bryant. I wasn't really cheering for Kobe Bryant because I was cheered against the Lakers because I don't know why. I just didn't like the Lakers because they won most of the time, I guess. But I always respected Kobe. And one of my memories is when he played Michael Jordan the first time ever. And I was in college at Pittsburgh State University. I remember I was with my roommates and we were watching the game. And Kobe was sitting there saying he's going to be the next Michael Jordan. He's going up against Jordan at the age of 18. And it's games in Chicago. And Jordan scores 30. And the Bulls win in overtime. And Kobe only played 10 minutes. He scored 5 points. He was a raw rookie right out of high school. But yet he was guarding Jordan. He never backed down. And I remember thinking, that guy's different. I remember thinking that, like, that guy's different. Most guys would just be like, uh-oh, Jordan got the best of me and hang my head. And I thought, he's going to be good. Now, I never thought he'd be anything quite like he turned out to be, obviously. But I just remember that. I do. I remember thinking that, going, this guy, he's not backing down. 17, 18-year-old kid against Michael Jordan, who was in the prime of his career in 1996. I mean, after a three-peat, now they're going to start another three-peat. I mean, it was something that stood out to me. When I watched Kobe at that time. And the other memory I have of Kobe is 2008 when they lost to the Celtics. I was cheering for the Celtics in that one because I like Paul Pierce a lot. And I just knew that the Lakers would be back in the finals of next year because I just knew Kobe. He looked so mad that they lost Game 7 that year in Boston. And they got rolled in that game. And I just knew that they were going to be back. And the next 2 years they made it back. They won the finals. And Kobe Bryant willed his team to a victory in Game 7 in 2010 against the Celtics when the Celtics had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. And they had a Hall of Famer in Paul Pierce, who's going to be a Hall of Famer. Kevin Garnett, going to be a Hall of Famer. Ray Allen, going to be a Hall of Famer. And what happened? Kobe willed him to a victory.
Yeah.
Unbelievable performance. Last night, I have to admit, KU was a live game. I didn't know what the result was going to be. KU against Oklahoma State. Knew the game was on the TV. I was planning on recording Kobe Bryant's final game as a Laker. They were rerunning it on ESPN last night, his farewell, where he scored 60 points. And I started to watch it even though I was recording it, and I couldn't stop watching. Because I did not see that whole game in its entirety because I remember in April 2016, the same night the Warriors were going for record number 73, win number 73 against the Grizzlies, which was on ESPN that night. And the Lakers were bumped to ESPN 2 against the Jazz because it was an insignificant game other than Kobe's last game as a Laker at home, final regular season game. And the Lakers weren't going to the playoffs. I remember watching Golden State, but I kind of was keeping tabs on the Laker game, flipped back and forth a little bit, but didn't really know what was going on. Last night I watched it for the first time in my life, the whole thing. I mean, he took a lot of shots. He took 50 shots. But that guy played 42 minutes in that game. He was 38 years of age. A lot of people didn't know if he'd be able to do anything. He missed his first 5 shots of the game and didn't look good. And all of a sudden, he hit a few and he got red hot. And then the fourth quarter, when the game's on the line, you could just see in his eyes as I watched it last night, like, this is my final hurrah, and I'm not losing this game, just like he did in Game 7 of the NBA Finals in 2010. He hits his last 5 shots, and the degree of difficulty of those shots were high.
Mm-hmm.
And he made an unbelievable three-pointer. And he scored 13 straight points there. He had 23 in the fourth quarter. His last 5 shots of the game, hit 2 free throws, got the 60, hit the game-winning shot. I mean, they rallied from 10 down with 3.5 minutes to go, and Kobe scored all the points. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen that whole thing. And it's even more amazing, and it really, and I got goosebumps talking about it right now, when I watched it after now knowing that Kobe passed away. That makes it even crazier when you watched it last night. And I'm just like, man, he went out his way. You know, I know the Lakers had a bad record that year, but he got to do the farewell tour. He was at peace with himself by being done, which a lot of athletes aren't. They're forced out. And that was so cool to go out because some legends go out, you know, shoot some bricks or obligatory, hey, wave of the cap, you know, you play for 5 minutes, don't do anything. And Kobe scored 60 in his final game against the NBA team that had a 500 record, the Utah Jazz. Pretty impressive. And it is still, I'm still shocked. I'm still stunned that Kobe Bryant's no longer with us. And I just really wish I would have met him. One, I think he would have made me a better person just by talking to him from everything that we've seen and heard ever since he passed away. And I heard some of the stuff before he passed away. I think he would have, you know, helped me or anybody else just be like, you know what? You made an excuse. No excuses. No. It's on you. No, there's no limitations. That's what he said over and over. There's no limitations. Here's some, Kobe Bryant with some advice while he was on Earth. Listen to this.
I couldn't completely miss the chance to take a moment to share some thoughts with all of you. The lesson I cherish the most is how important it is to love what you do. If you love what you do and it's making you happy, all the hard work and perseverance will pay off. I once had a guidance counselor tell me that I shouldn't play basketball, that it would never amount to anything for me. His negativity towards me made me stronger. You can't stop people from trying to limit your dreams, but you can stop it from becoming a reality. Your dreams are up to you. I encourage you to always be curious, always seek out things you love, and always work hard once you find it. So with that, I'll let you carry on with your evening. Please know I'm thinking of you, supporting you, and encouraging you always.
Gives me goosebumps. Just gives me goosebumps. Passing away at the age of 41 in a helicopter crash Sunday morning near Los Angeles. I had known that he had flown on helicopters before. I had known that before he had passed away, but didn't know why. Here's Kobe explaining why he chose to travel by helicopter back and forth.
You know, after school activities, all that fun stuff, even on weekends. But then traffic started getting really, really bad, right? And I was sitting in traffic, and I wound up missing like a school play because I was sitting in traffic. And this thing just kept mounting. I had to figure out a way where I could still train and focus on the craft, but still not compromise family time. Mm. And so that's when I looked into helicopters and being able to get down and back in 15 minutes. Mm. And that's when it started. And so my routine was always the same. Weights early in the morning, kids to school, fly down, practice like crazy, do my extra work, media, everything I needed to do, fly back, get back in carpool line, pick the kids up. And my wife was like, listen, I can pick them up. I'm like, no. I want to do that because, like, you know, you have road trips and times where you don't see your kids, man. You know? So, like, every chance I get to see them and spend time with them, even if it's 20 minutes in your car, like, I want that.
You know, that hits home hard for me when I hear that because he did the helicopter thing to spend time with his kids and his family. He got the big picture. He missed out on time with his family and his girls on road trips. But when he was at home, he wanted to maximize the time. I'll just be up front with you. You know, I come in at work. I get up at 6:15. I'm here at 7 o'clock, and I'm working until usually 4 o'clock. I don't work till 5 o'clock usually. I've already put in my 8-9-hour day. I can work more if I want, and obviously I will today because we got ball games. Mm-hmm. And there's many times we work 10, 12, 15 hours a day, and we work 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week sometimes in our profession. But when I have the opportunity to be home by 4 o'clock, shortly after my kids get home off of the bus or come home with my wife who works at the schools, I've always felt like I don't know how much time I have with my children.
Yeah.
And they grow up so fast. When you see these memories on Facebook, like, my God, that was 7 years ago. My kid was at the Harlem Globetrotters, which popped up yesterday of all days.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball, which has been a love of my life. And, of course, we saw Kobe win an Academy Award for the love of basketball in his life, Dear Basketball, which was amazing stuff, and won an Academy Award because of it. And so that hits home with me. And I just think even more of Kobe after I heard that. That's just fantastic stuff. Kobe Bryant was an idol. He wasn't necessarily my idol. Jordan was for me because by the time Kobe came in the league, even though Kobe is only 3 years younger than me, per se, and a little bit older than you, I didn't play when he played. I was done with my high school career. But Jordan was the guy emulated on the playground. It was Jordan, Magic, and Bird. That's who I grew up with. But a lot of people, it was Kobe, including Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark.
Kobe, he was a huge inspiration. I mean, growing up in Los Angeles, you know, I didn't have a father, you know, that I had knew at the moment. So growing up, you know, I had always looked at somebody to, you know, for that leadership and for that role to, you know, to figure out what I want to do in my sport, to see, you know, just that someone to follow. You know, I didn't have no one to follow. I grew up around gangs and stuff, and you know, Kobe was the first person I idolized and the only person I've ever idolized.
Frank Clark had a lot of good things to say about Kobe. Richard Sherman knew Kobe quite well. He plays for the Niners. He had some nice things to say about Kobe Bryant as well. The Clipper-Laker game for tonight has been postponed, rightfully so. I don't know how, as a Lakers organization, you can go out and play ball tonight. I don't, especially LeBron, after he just talked to him Sunday morning, right before he died, basically heard from him. It's just a horrible thing. And we'll always remember where we were when this happened. And we've never seen anything in our lifetime of a sports figure of this magnitude, a global icon, passing away. We've seen it with entertainers. We've seen it with Princess Diana, which is a big thing, but we've never seen it with an athlete.
Yeah.
And Derek Thomas was a regional thing, the Chiefs.
Yeah.
That was not a national.
Nothing like this has happened since Roberto Clemente is what people were saying.
Probably,
you know,
so.
And it's like, and I wasn't alive for that. You weren't alive for that.
Well, I was. I don't remember. I would have been three. So,
yeah. But, this, like I said on Twitter on Sunday, I had no connection to the man at all. But
I feel like I have one now, though. Don't you?
Yeah. I mean, all the stories you hear. Listen, I literally had to unplug Sunday night. Like, I had to stop. Like, I couldn't watch anymore. I couldn't read any more of the tweets. I had a lot of people sharing in our group that we have on Twitter, and it's like, I can't do any more of it. My heart's broken too much. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I had no connection to him, and by the end of the day,
right,
I can't take it anymore. It's too much for me.
When Jerry West was talking about Kobe, I about lost it. That was just... And then I heard Shaq last night. They played Audio M, and man, that guy, he said, I can't sleep. And that they had problems, those two. But yeah, they ended up working it out at the end, won championships together.
And I still think part of their deal was the Hollywood thing.
Yeah,
you know,
I do too.
You know, making it look worse than it probably really was.
Probably so. I think Shaq played that up.
They loved each other. You knew that.
Oh, absolutely.
At some point, and then in the end, you know.
Big brother, little brother, no doubt.
Shaq's kids calling him Uncle Kobe. There's obviously something there.
Kobe actually sent a text the night before, the morning of, he passed away, to Shaquille's son, asking, how's the fam, how's everybody doing?
Yeah.
We don't have enough time to go over all the things that Kobe did in his final time on Earth. And then, of course, he lost his daughter. Him and his 13-year-old daughter passed away. My son told me, he read something, I don't know if it's true, that Kobe and his wife agreed when he got the helicopter that they'll never all fly together in the helicopter together in case something happened. Now that gives you goosebumps.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, he got four daughters. Last night they replayed Kobe's final game on ESPN. And I don't know, to me it was therapeutic. For me personally, watching him play that game, it was like he was alive again, and I was watching him, and I forgot that he even passed away at times. And just to relive it for you that missed it last night, this was an unbelievable call. This is the TV call from ESPN when Kobe, in his final game as a Laker, stepped it up, scored 60, and hit the game-winning shot.
Will Kobe give them one last gamer? Bryant, on the move, with the jumper.
Kobe ended up with 60 points. They won the game. And here's an interesting story from Mike Tirico. And it's so cool because I actually saw this on Twitter during a commercial break. I checked it, and then I was able to watch it, and sure as heck it happened. Here's Mike Tirico, Gordon Hayward, what he did at the end of the game. Remember, the game is 98-96. Lakers are up two. Kobe at the line, ready to shoot his second free throw for point number 60. The Jazz still have a chance to win the game, although they're not going to the playoffs anyway. So your competitor, you usually want to win, right? There's 14 seconds left in the game. Listen to this story.
So Kobe hits a jumper from the right elbow off a screen to put the Lakers up. Ken Dennis was our director that night. He and Ed Fibishoff were a producer and director that Hubie and I worked with. They were awesome. Awesome that night. Great. Like, the camera cuts are just next level great, okay? So then Kobe gets fouled. He comes to the line. He's eventually going to go out a couple of possessions later. He hits the first one for 59. He's at the line the second time, and you've got to watch on the free throw line, closest to Kobe, back to the camera, is Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward steps into the lane as Kobe's about to shoot that last free throw for 60, in case he missed it, to give him another shot for 60. That, to me, was the most unique example I could give to people of the fraternity of the NBA and the reverence for greatness in the NBA is at a different level than any of the other sports that we watch or cover. It was like Gordon Hayward, his team losing in this game. They blew a lead, blah, 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 blah. He had the complete wherewithal at 59 to just put a foot in the lane and look over at the ref just in case Kobe missed it to make sure he got another shot at 60. That is just one of those things that nobody ever remembers, that very few people see. But every time I see Gordon Hayward, I think of that. I'm like, you know what, dude? You get it. You get it. You get it at a level that other people don't, and I'm a fan of yours for life for that.
Have you heard that?
No.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It tells you ultimate respect. Now, if that was a game that Jazz had to win to get to the playoffs, it might have been a little different. But
sure.
Gordon Hayward, I've always thought, is a great person and a great player, and saw him at Butler when they almost beat Duke in the national championship. That tells you how much Kobe meant to him and others. I mean, it's just amazing. More tears were shown last night during games. A whole bunch of 24 and 8-second violations were taken by teams as they played last night in the NBA. As I said, the Clipper-Laker game was postponed. There is a logo petition to change the logo to Kobe Bryant, some silhouette of his image, shooting the ball, dribbling the ball. I'm going to tell you, Jerry West will be the first one to say go for it, and he is the current logo of the NBA. I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Why not?
I mean, why not? Yeah. I mean, there's over 300,000 signatures. Just a matter of which one you would pick. I think it should be done. I think the NBA should do that. And maybe we need to, you know, let it play out for a little bit before making rash decisions. But to me, that, I mean, one of the greatest players that ever lived. Trey West had it on there for years, and he isn't going to care. He'll be happy to have Kobe be the new logo of the NBA. I think it would be a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous moment if they did that. I think that would be great. I think that's a great idea. Fantastic idea.
Yeah.
Been a tough last 48 hours. Can't imagine what it's like for people that are even closer to him in L.A. Can't imagine how it is for people that knew him personally. Can't imagine how it is for his family and his surviving family. And everybody talks about his wife and his daughters, but what about his mom and his dad? That keeps being left out, I've noticed a little bit. It's tough. And you just got to enjoy life as much as you can and also remember that there were seven other people in that plane, in that helicopter that went down that lost loved ones too. So tragedies happen all the time, and sometimes we might be a little bit immune to it, but when something happens to somebody of this stature, all of a sudden it hits home a little bit harder, or if it's somebody really close to you, of course. So just all this stuff.
Magic said that you feel like those guys are invincible.
You do.
Like,
you
just do.
Yeah, you really do.